South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Who is there for heroes or the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The Foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The Foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids in kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, t.org.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
Live from the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
All righty. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program, the day after this Sunday. And it's the day after the Kentucky Derby. We got a whole bunch of wrap-up to go and all that good stuff. We just want to welcome you to the show on this Sunday morning. We come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world right here at the South Point Studios Network, streaming at YouTube. Just go to YouTube. At South Point Studios, you get the network feed, and you can hear and watch us right there, right here from this studio at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex here on Las Vegas Boulevard in your gaming capital. Well, we welcome you to the show, and of course, all of the other people who are listening on the other platforms, like our radio station, our anchor station here in town, Sports Talk 1400 AM and 107.1 FM. They've got them both. And, of course, anywhere you get your podcasting as well. And, of course, our websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world.global. We got them there. And, of course, anywhere you get your phone apps, your KSHB phone apps, your YouTube phone apps, etc. So, however, wherever, whenever, welcome to the show. First, I want to thank all the participants, not only here in the studio, people behind the scenes, but our guests on the set as well. Everybody that came in through the links, etc., plus all of the events that we had here, starting with the Thursday special show that we had, the Kentucky Oaks Kentucky Derby preview show, and of course the seminar on Friday night for the Kentucky Derby, and the party yesterday in the big grand ballroom. Want to thank all of you for coming out and embracing and enjoying all of these special events, because they broke the records here. They just broke them all through the week. And the big grand ballroom was packed. Not a seat left in any one of the big banquet tables. There were people actually standing along the walls inside the ballroom by the time the Kentucky Derby went off. And, of course, everybody had a great time. The hat contest, what a resounding success that was. I really thought maybe there'd be like 20 entrants. There was over like 50 women and men who came dressed to the nines as if they were right there in the paddock at Churchill Downs. And everybody had a great time. And it was a record day as far as the participation and competition on the racetrack. So all in all, although we may be a little bit fatigued this morning after all of that excitement, we want to thank everybody out there for your participation, and we want to thank everybody here for the participation to make it happen. That's number one. Number two is, it's the Derby. It was over. That's it. Now, John Lindo is en route back to California, but we'll get him hooked up here soon via the link. But still in studio with me is Jonathan Hardoon. Jonathan, good morning.
I leave today, Ralph. Oh.
Yeah, I'll bet you do. There's a nice, comfortable bed upstairs in the room. That's for sure. What a day yesterday, huh?
Amazing. It really was a terrific day of racing. Safe, no problems. Everything went smooth. Yep. You know, people that had the winner, I guess it was for the most part till the middle of the stretch.
Wow, that was a cavalry charge.
Yeah, I mean, it was very exciting, and surprised that there was no foul claim. You know, Sierra Leone was all over Forever Young, and I don't know, what were the stewards looking at?
Well, we'll get to that in a minute, okay. But I mean, your horse, the one that you
picked, Anna Marie, yeah, she had
molested at the start. I mean, they came out of the game and scrunch, but we all know, as I said several times on the show here, I mean, we have disqualifications, but it was, you know, Medina Spirit with the test afterwards. And, of course, Maximum Security, that really did almost molest and knock down people. But for the most part, we know it's a two-minute rodeo.
Yeah, listen, in an eight-horse field, there's trouble in a lot of races. This is a 20-horse field, yeah. You know.
And everybody wants to win badly.
And everyone's coming from different directions and all over the world. And it was really just a terrific, it lived up to the billing, you know. Really great is all the people and all the attention it got. People thought horse racing is dying and everything else that goes with it. Nope. Well, guess what? It's alive and well. Yes. They set every record, even attendance-wise. I think they had 157,000 people at the South Point yesterday. We were packed. And people were talking about the Derby. And it's not like there was some superstar that everyone's watching and all this. It got a lot of attention. And, again, that's only good for the game and certainly good for us.
The total co-mingle wagering on the Kentucky Derby Saturday at Churchill Downs in Louisville set a record. It was up 10.1% over the record betting year last year. In the Derby, $198.3 million, up $18.16 million over last year's record, according to their records there, according to the charts. And, you know, when you take in all the other wagering going on, $320.5 million was bet at the track, on the Churchill races yesterday. 2023 was $288.7 million, and that was a record. So they broke that record, that's for sure. And for the week that started out, you know, on Tuesday, and then they went to Wednesday, and then Derby Day, and Oaks Day, and Kentucky Derby Day, $446.6 million was cranked through the windows. You're right. Racing is not dead. People will come out for the events. And they certainly did there. Beautiful, that new paddock they had that was very well shown on all of the TV signals, etc. But here at the South Point, people were starting. I had a neighbor that I saw on my way home yesterday. He happened to be checking the mail at the mailbox in front. And he said, "Ralph, I was looking for you." I said, "Well, I was in the ballroom." You know, he says, "Well, I went to the ballroom when the," he said, "I got there by 10 o'clock, about an hour after the ballroom opened." He said there were like three tables that were like still vacant, and he got one of them. But it was way on the other side of the, the ballroom. And if anybody knows how huge that ballroom is, and we were there, you know, it's like you can get lost real easy because there was nothing but a sea of people. And it was great because everybody was having a good time. I didn't really hear anybody complain that much about losing the races either. Everybody just was having a good time, and it's a testament to their dedication here and their commitment to horse players here at this complex.
And it was a terrific atmosphere. It really was. You know, they had over 800 seats, and you couldn't find one.
Yeah.
You know, that's amazing.
Yeah, I think they squeezed in at least, well, I know it was over 1,000 people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but, that's not even an overflow. I mean, the race book, which is one of the biggest race books here in Las Vegas, was full. People were along the side and packed in the back. The lounge next to it where we did the seminar, that was full with people watching and betting. And the side part, they have another little theater-type thing next to the book with all the TV sets on there. And all those seats were packed. I mean, the entire hotel was packed. It was amazing.
That's what I was telling you. I was just amazed how much interest there was,
yeah.
You know, and it's a good thing.
Yes. And the race lived up to the billing.
When was the last time? Three noses on the wire.
I can't remember.
Yeah, me
three
neither.
Noses on the wire at the Derby. Usually, you'll get a horse right about at the 16th pull, you know, start to pull away or whatever. But these three horses were driving to the finish. The track announcer did a yeoman's job in describing it for people. And it was just, it all lived up to the billing. It was just one of those very, very memorable days of racing and in Kentucky Derby, all over the place. It was really something. The only thing that I heard throughout the entire day was one of the big local properties here in town had a problem with their horse racing phone app, that they said it was down for about 3 or 4 hours. So that had to hurt their properties. But everything was going right to the tee here, that's for sure. And boy, I got to tell you, that hat contest, I mean, that's a go all the time. And so is that they had that little area, that little thing where you take a picture.
Oh, yeah, like you were at in Churchill.
Yeah.
That was a brilliant idea.
Yeah,
and people loved it.
People were lined up taking pictures there. And, of course, the food and beverage, they were always, those lines were always packed. It was a good time. And the parimutuel lines here upstairs, when the first time I went to make a bet, it was a long line. So I thought to myself, oh, man, people are going to get shut out. Not so. Those lines moved so quickly through there that even if you walked up and you said you're way in the back, they got them through there real quick. I mean,
yeah,
people
the tellers were great.
Down. Yeah,
the tellers were great.
They did a great job. A lot of hard work there, but they did a great job. And Dan, one of the supervisors here in the book, was chirping all week long. He says, "Mystic Dan, Mystic Dan."
Really?
So I mean, I hate to walk over there this morning after the show because he's been on the muscle this morning. There's no question about that. But he's got the right.
You pick the winner, you have bragging rights.
That's right. And I know he's not a handicapper. He bet the horse because it was his name.
Dan,
but he's cashing it, and I'm not.
I'm sure there were a lot of Dans that cashed.
Yeah, that's for sure. But you know, I had Sierra Leon in the race, and it was that three horse photo finish was amazing. And a little bit after the menu, etc., maybe when we get John Lendo hooked up, we'll go over the race and take a look at the mechanics of the race, that's for sure. But what a day it was. Attendance, you're right, 156,710 was at the track there at Churchill Downs. And wow.
It looked it. If you watched on TV, they showed the crowd. It just kept going for miles and miles.
Highest number since highest attendance since 2018, and a total of 155 horses ran on the year's card. 155 horses ran over the 15 races, whatever it was.
Full fields. People loved it,
and some really weird upsets.
Yeah,
that's all I can say about that. As a matter of fact, I think what we'll do is we'll go over some of the pre-races and get your thoughts about that. I will say one thing, with how bad the track looked at Kentucky Oaks Day and the days before with all the rain there, that track turned out to be great and fast, and the turf course did too. It was amazing how it drove.
Yesterday morning, they were tweeting out pictures, and it looked like a quagmire.
Yeah.
But we said it. That track dries out faster than any track. It was safe. Horses got over it.
Yep.
No problem.
No problem. It was really great. It really was. Taking a look, they had, nine stakes races out of the 14 races yesterday. Of course, the last of them was the Kentucky Derby. But they started out with the Knicks Go Stakes at a mile for four-year-olds and up. And in this one, a strong quality got the win for Florent Garreau. He had a pretty good day yesterday. $13.82 for the win. It was a Mark Cassie trainee outrunning Kupuna, which is a horse that John Lindo liked, and Five-Star General in that one. Any thoughts? Did you see that race at all?
I did. I saw them all. It was a terrific race, and, you know, no real surprises, I thought. Not in that race, and yeah. Made sense.
Okay. The next race up was the $600,000 Grade 2 Twin Spires Sprint at 5.5 furlongs on the turf for three-year-olds and up. And horse hadn't won in a long time, but he got there yesterday. Number 14 in the field, Cogburn for Steve Asmussen and Irad Ortiz Jr. got the job done and paid $18.78, outrunning Leo Oriana and Mischief Magic, a horse that most of us liked in that race.
Yeah, Charles Appleby, one of the few people that, you know, surprisingly didn't, was expected to have a big day and didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, when he ships in and he's deadly, usually his horses always fire.
Right.
He had a little bit of a tough day yesterday. You'll see Chad Brown, I mean, he lost the Derby, but he won a bunch of races grass.
And most of them were stake races.
Yeah, and he was running 1-2 and 1-2-3 in some of the races also. So, yeah. With the exception of the Derby, which I'm not sure if he would have traded in for the other five races.
I think he would have, yes.
So do I.
Yeah. But in any case, Cogburn had come up big. He hadn't been running that well as of late, but he came up big yesterday.
Yeah, he was off of a bit of a layoff, yeah. And Asmussen's a terrific trainer, and it showed yesterday.
And that was Irad Ortiz Jr.'s second win already on the day, and there was only five races in. Then we got to the first big bucks race, so to speak, the sixth race, the $1 million Grade 1 Derby City Distaff at 7 furlongs for fillies and mares, four-year-olds and up. And a horse that all you guys like, the 10-horse Bahava, won that. Irad Ortiz Jr. again for Sherry DeVoe. $5.44. He was the favorite in one, beating Alva Star and Flying Connection. And all I can say is Alva Star and Bahava were vying for favoritism, and the public had that just right, because that was a hell of a duel with these two down the stretch.
It was, and Alva Star beat that horse last time out, but... Yeah. Vahava turned the tables. I guess the 7 furlongs made the difference.
I think so, yes. Yeah, because it took Vahava the entire stretch to get by Alva Star. But that race kind of went to Hoyle. Then in the seventh race, the $750,000 Grade 2 Churchill Distaff at a mile on the turf. And the turf, like I said, was in good shape for fillies and mares, four-year-olds and up. And all I can say is Chad Brown has zeroed in on this race. This guy has won this race 3 years in a row, and I think when the dust settled, he got 4 in a row, because Chili Flag wins the race with Irad Ortiz Jr. up again, Chad Brown the trainer. That was 4 wins on the day already in 7 races for Irad. 3 of them were stakes races. Chili Flag gets the job done over Caprice, which is a horse that a lot of the guys, handicappers, like, and Delahaye.
Yeah, and guess what? Chad Brown trained all 3 of them.
Yeah.
He trained the trifecta.
Yeah. So when they were coming down the stretch, he was already walking to the circle. So
they asked him who won. He says, "I don't care. I won."
Yeah. Yeah. I won, and just keep this race on the card for next year, because he's got it squared away. But that was a solid win there. Then the next race was the $600,000 Grade 2 Pat Day Mile, a one-turn, 1 mile on the main track for three-year-olds. And I got to tell you, the winner was Seize the Gray. I'll get that out of the way first with Jamie Torres aboard. Seize the Gray wins for D. Wayne Lucas, pays $20.84, outrunning Nash and Vlahos. Okay? Nash and Vlahos were both horses that got bet. But Seize the Gray won it. Here's the kicker. On Friday night, we were doing the seminar in the Grandview Lounge, and there were people sitting in the corner. And when we were done with the seminar, we were walking out, and a lady stopped John Lindo and was starting to talk to him. And then I came along, and she explained to both of us that they were trying to get this horse into the Kentucky Derby, but he didn't have enough points, so he's one of the ones that didn't make the cut. So they decided to go in the Pat Day Mile. She was part owner of this horse.
Really?
But she was sitting in the seminar here at the South Point. Yesterday, up in the ballroom in her table, you heard them screaming, because they came up and watched the race here as well. So a really kind of a local flavor to it. But boy, he ran a big race.
He did, and the horse that ran third also ran super, Doug O'Neill, for the first time, Vlahos, the 11 horse.
Yeah.
He went 44, and it was only career start number two, first start for the O'Neill barn. Nothing to be embarrassed about. He ran his eyeballs out.
And Edwin Maldonado, who was riding at Santa Anita on Friday, took a midnight, you know, an overnighter, a midnighter to Louisville in time because he wanted to ride this horse. And we all know, if you've been following Southern California racing, when you put Maldonado on a horse, he's going to get this horse out of the gate and running because he loves to get horses out and get to the front. And that's exactly what this horse did. Might have been a little bit too fast for the half, though.
Yeah, and they were battling every step of the way. Everyone was taking a shot. And for career start number two to put in an effort like that, nothing to be embarrassed about.
Yeah, seize the gray, though. It was kind of a
It
was kind of a fun win, although I didn't have the horse. You know, full disclosure here, I didn't have the horse, but it was.
It's not always about winning. Sometimes there's a great story. Watching Lucas go into the winner's circle there, he's 88 years old. I mean, it's just a great story.
It's great because, yesterday it was like the crowd was like that too. Even the people who were losing were having fun. Like, you know, I lost the race, but it was still a fun story. So you were feeling good for them.
The atmosphere, again, was perfect.
Positive. Yeah. All positive. That's for sure. All right, then we get to the $600,000 Grade II American Turf at a mile and 16th on the turf for three-year-olds. This is the race that I thought, one of our participants in the Kentucky Derby should have been in, but wasn't. But in this race, I had to look at my form twice, and I was very comfortable in saying I couldn't bet that horse now.
Right.
But he won. Trickery with Umberto Rispoli won for Graham Motion. This horse's most recent races were at Turf Paradise and Gulfstream Park, but he upset the apple cart, winning the American Turf, paying $99.34. And all I can say is, wow.
And all I can say is, you were hocking him. Why they didn't run Endlessly here? Well, guess what? The owner of Endlessly owned the winner of this race, Ammerman Stable.
So why run two when you can win with one, right?
Exactly. And I guess he knew what he was doing.
I guess he did, and I guess that shut me up, didn't it? Anyhow, this race, he was 47-1, and to show you how much of an upsetting race it was overall, the 24-1 shot ran second, a 36-1 shot ran third, 7-1 shot ran fourth. And the Superfecta paid $69,493.26.
Well, no 10-cent super certainly helped those prices.
Yes, it did.
Because it kept the little guys out that were playing, which I don't know if it's such a smart thing to do.
I don't think it is either.
No, but they do it on Derby Day, and they just go to the dollar super, so that's going to certainly increase the prices.
And real quick, the $1 million Grade 1 Churchill Downs Stakes was next at 7 furlongs. It's the 10th race on the card. And the winner there was Gun Pilot, Christian Torres for Steve Asmussen, paying $12.68, outrunning Hear Me Song and Zozos in the race. Any thoughts about that?
No, he got a great trip, and Asmussen had him ready, and he was drawn well. He was drawn outside going 7 furlongs, and he ran very, very well.
The 11th race on the card was the $1 million Grade 1 Bourbon Turf Classic at a mile and 1/8 on the turf for four-year-olds and up. It was, of course, the prelude to the Kentucky Derby. Program Trading won for Flavian Pratt, Chad Brown's second stakes race of the day, $10.18, outrunning Naval Power and Web Slinger. And all I can say was Flavian Pratt has got to get his boots now repolished because he had to take some of the paint off of that railing coming. That was an absolute unbelievable threading to get through there.
It was an amazing ride. And again, it was the longer of the other Chad Brown entrants in the race. You know, he had Very Busy in the race, who was the favorite. He broke through the gate prior to the race, and they put him back in, and the other Chad Brown happened to win. And you're right, that's a ride for the ages.
Yeah, no question about that. If you watch any of the replays from Churchill Downs when they race next, because they don't race today, you got to watch this race. I mean, it was amazing that he got through there. And it was amazing how Brian Hernandez got through in the win with Mystic Dan in the Derby. I want to bring in now John Lendo, who's out there somewhere. John, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralph.
Well,
can you hear me okay?
Let's see if we can bring in John. John?
Trying now. How you doing, Ralph? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can now. We got you all hooked up now.
Okay.
Now, I want to remind everybody, you're en route back to California, but you're on the side of the road. You're not doing this while driving.
Yes.
Okay, we just wanted to make sure.
No. We're at a rest stop here on the way back, watching the sun come up over the desert.
Well, okay, you know, we want to make sure that the highway patrol know that you're doing this stuff safely. That's for sure. We went over all of the earlier races, John, and before we get to the Kentucky Derby, because we know you're on the side of the road, so we want to get you on your way as well. So we'll go. You and me and Jonathan will go over the Derby. We'll get your picks, and then we'll send you on your way. And then I'll do the racing menu and all that stuff in a minute. But the Kentucky Derby, we all saw it. You know, we can go over describing it over and over again. But Mystic Dan got a dream trip to win the race, threading through the field. And staying on the rail for Brian Hernandez, which is, it's got to be his signature now, because he did the same thing yesterday with the front-running winner in the Kentucky Oaks. And Mystic Dan held off a chorus line of chargers through the stretch in the most exciting finish in the Kentucky Derby I could ever remember, with three noses on the wire, but just got there. And Kenny McPeak and Brian Hernandez sweep the Kentucky Oaks and the Kentucky Derby with that dramatic win, just beating Sarah Leone on the outside and between horses Forever Young, three noses on the wire in that race. And, John, what do you say?
Just a fantastic race, Ralph. A few stars in that race. People saw how good Brian Hernandez, the jockey, is, both on Friday and Saturday with Torpedo Ann on the Oaks, and that ride yesterday. If you saw him cut the corner turning for home, there wasn't a whole lot of room on that rail there, but it takes a lot of guts to do that. And Brian Hernandez has a reputation for being inside, the kind of the new Calvin Burrell of the world out there. And mm-hmm. He cut that corner, and it made the difference, because here comes Sierra Leone on the far outside, and the Japanese horse Forever Young, who ran way too good to lose.
Yep.
They kind of got into a bumping match down the stretch. Sierra Leone, as he tends to do, was kind of lugging in pretty heavily. And, his rider, Tyler Gaffleone, actually got his whip kind of caught in the, whether it be the reins or the mane of Forever Young, when he was trying to use the left hand to keep the horse straight. And they got into a bumping and pushing match, and unbelievable finish. I think any of the three could have won with a little bit different trips, but it was a great race to watch, and the crowd loved it. I loved it. I thought it was a fantastic race.
Me too, that's for sure. I had Sierra Leone, but it was just a fantastic race, and I can say this, that the crowd at the in the ballroom was really going crazy.
Well, you're going to watch
a
race?
We were watching afterwards. I was kind of, like John had mentioned earlier, I was kind of waiting for an inquiry sign.
Mm.
But, that old unwritten rule, Ralph, you just don't claim foul in the Derby. It looked like it came up. But you watch those head-on tapes, and they're, I wish they would have let the public know we're at least looking at this for you.
Yeah.
I mean, the stewards should have said something.
Absolutely. There should have been, ladies and gentlemen, we have a stewards inquiry reviewing the videotape of the stretch run. They could have done that for the start, too, because Honor Marie was the recipient of being mauled at the start. I mean, there was a big crunch right in the middle there when they opened the starting gate. They usually let that really get away with in the Kentucky Derby, but that bumping match down the stretch, and when you're talking about hitting the wire noses apart, I think that made a difference between the result, for sure.
I mean, you could certainly make a case that Sierra Leone should have been disqualified. Really? I mean, you would say that bumping certainly cost a nose, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. Don't you think so, John?
Absolutely. I was, again, I bet Sierra Leone, so it benefited me that they did not take him down from second. But I wouldn't have been mad if they took him down, because I thought that's probably what should have happened.
Yeah, there's no question about that, and a lot of people, I mean, I saw Twitter light up, X I should say, light up with people complaining about it. People had stills of them coming down the stretch and bumping and all that. I think that, as you said, John, the Sierra Leone would have had every right to change the order of finish and disqualify him from second. And I also think that they would have held Tyler Gaffney blameless because he was trying to do everything, including, like you said, reaching over, trying to get, you know, they were so close. He was bumping that he actually, you know, touched Forever Young. But, I mean, he could, you know, he was trying everything he could to get him off of that horse.
If that was the fifth race on a Thursday at Churchill Downs, mm-hmm. that horse would have come down.
Yeah.
I honestly believe that.
And it's a miracle. You watch Tyler Gaffney, the problem on the left side, but on the right side, he's pulling as hard as he can on that right rein to keep Sierra Leone off of Forever Young. What a balancing act he was doing in the stretch there, you know, pulling on one side, trying to get his hand loose on the other side. It was incredible.
In the crunch time to the Kentucky Derby, and you're trying to win the race. I mean, it's just amazing, that's for sure.
It shows you how great athletes these jockeys really are, because to pull that balancing act off while you're trying to win a race and you're driving and whipping and everything else, really an amazing job.
And we got to give kudos, of course, to the Japanese horse that, like you said, ran too good to lose. And we had dinner with the man who has the bad beat of the day, which Richie Yang, who said several times on the show leading up to it in the ensuing weeks leading up to the Derby, that he had a future book bet at 100-1 on Forever Young. So, you know, the first thing we did was order him some bicarbonate soda, I think.
Or a double.
Yeah, in whiskey.
Right.
Yeah. That was a horrible beat. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of trip notes in this race. As I said at the start, it was a crunch time in the middle of the field. However, horses that were on the outside got a clean break, and we all knew, as race players and handicappers, that Fierceness was in trouble by the time they hit the wire the first time, because he was engulfed with speed on either side of him, John.
Well, when they came by the stands the first time and they were lined up four across the track, you knew it wasn't going to be an easy pace.
Mm-hmm.
But just for a second down the backside, you saw Johnny Velasquez peek under his shoulder like, I've got the horses in front of me, when do I go? And I thought, he might be loaded. But he went from full to empty in a quarter mile, and by the time they were halfway around the far turn, he was done. And Mike Rapoli put on X that the horse came out fine. He congratulated the winners, so I think he's fine. But Todd Pletcher has a reputation. If he doesn't win the Derby, those horses back in the Preakness. So I don't think we're going to see Fierceness back in the second leg of the Triple Crown.
I would probably agree to you. As far as other horses, you know, we know that a lot of the horses in the race in ensuing days will drop out of the Preakness and move on to other parts of the country and certainly other races.
Well, Sierra Leone.
But Jonathan, you have one official one already out.
Yeah, Chad Brown said that Sierra Leone is headed back to Saratoga and he will wait for the Belmont at Saratoga this year. He is passing the Preakness, and that's the right thing to do.
I think so, yeah, because we know this horse, the more ground, it's just that you got to start your run way outside because you know he's going to be bearing in.
Or stay inside.
Yeah, they got to do something about that. They'll probably work on that, I'm sure.
For such a good horse to have that kind of problem with a great trainer, they'll figure it out. But Fierceness, really no excuse, let's be honest. I mean, he got the post he wanted. He was in position. He just came up empty. I think he finished 15th.
Yeah, I got the chart here. Let's take a look at that thing. Fierceness.
Well, John, that means he'll probably win by 10 next time, right? The other Dan pattern continues.
That's it. He's a consistent horse. He's an in and outer. He runs a good one. He never puts two together.
Now, he was officially the favorite of the race at $3.21 to a dollar. And the notes on the chart said he hopped at the start, died three wide, and weakened at the quarter pole. And yes, he did finish 15th in the race. Under John Velasquez. And as far as Velasquez's comments after the race, because they, you know, they interview all the jockeys after the race. John Velasquez, he said his first jump was not very good. His second and third jump was okay. He got pretty aggressive since he had to give him the nudge to get out of there. The horses on the outside put pressure on, and then he got into the bridle. I tried to keep him and settle him as much as I can without letting him do too much, but he was already engaged, and when I let him go, he just didn't have it. That's what
It's really amazing how good you could be in one race and how bad you could be in another race. And he just keeps doing the same thing. Yeah. He just refuses to put two races together.
No question about that. John, before we let you go, a couple of things. Any thoughts about anything else that happened on the day that you might want to mention?
I was very happy to see the enthusiasm of the horse players in Las Vegas, not only at the South Point, but we talked to our friend Bob Ike at dinner last night. They had a good attendance at a seminar over across town, and Richie did one down at the Westgate. So, you know, again, it's nice to know the fans are out there. They still want to see racing. Sometimes we get discouraged. It gets kind of quiet out there, but you put on a show and they'll come out. And we had a blast with the people over the last few days.
Yeah, not even a question about that, that's for sure. And just, you know, the payoffs were immense if you could have put the dots together. That pick five that ended in the Kentucky Derby, we went over all of the other races and the payoffs there before you came on. That pick five, the winning numbers of 5, 2, 10, 5, 3. $188,957.75. Oh, my. You love days like this.
It's like Breeders' Cup.
Yeah. Well, John and I are on the air, so that means we didn't have it.
Yeah. And I'm here, too, so you know I didn't have it. And so it was great in all, overall. John, if we can get a couple of selections from you, we'll let you back on the road.
Just one today. I've only done Santa Anita, so I'm going to go to Santa Anita's fifth race. In the fifth race today, number 7, Mystification, took all the heat on the lead last time, never got a breather, and just got caught on the wire and with a really good effort. He was 15-1 last time. He's 4-1 on the program today. I think that effort was legit. Softer pace scenario, wire to wire today, race 5, number 7, Mystification at Santa Anita.
All righty, and pretty much sure that you'll be at home in time to watch it on TV. At the fifth race, the 7, Mystification, John Lindo's play. And I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, John is a professional all the way. He may be on the road. He might be tired from the week, but he's got his Linda report right now here at the South Point. The South Point Racebook here in our racebook, free of charge, exclusively for everybody. So I want to thank you for yeoman's job there, John. Drive carefully, and we will we'll talk to you after a couple of days' rest on Wednesday.
Best part of the week, Ralph, was getting to spend time with you and John in the studio. Really enjoyed that. Can't wait to do it again.
Yeah, this is great. We want you guys here as much as you can, that's for sure. Thanks, John.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
Drive safely.
Now, what we're going to do, and I know the crew here we have a schedule to go by, but I'm blowing off some of the commercial breaks so we can continue with our coverage here. And what we'll do is I'm going to do Rich Eng, and then we'll do the menu after that. So let's bring in Rich Eng. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, John.
All right, wait, we'll get you up there. Good morning,
Rich. Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Well, we all sympathize with you. That's for sure.
Ouch. All I could say is ouch.
Yeah.
That one hurt.
You know, I really appreciate the condolences. And, you know, when you bet horses and you bet sports, a term that you hear an awful lot is bad beats. And if you're going to bet enough games, you're going to bet enough horse races, you're going to get bad beats. But, you know, that one in particular really hurt because I had a chance for me, you know, to make a really big score for me on my level. But he ran his eyeballs out. I have no complaints. And, you know, I got a little hoarse after the race. I was really rooting hard at the top of the stretch.
Oh, you
and,
think so? Yeah.
Tyler Gaffalio, and I tell you what, you know, I know the horse lug, you know, has a tendency to lug in, and he was trying all he could to stay off the Forever Young. But if he runs straight, Sierra Leone might win. And if he runs straight, Forever Young might have won. So he ended up costing possibly both horses to win the race.
Not to mention the fact that the only thing that, you know, most of the general crowd is okay, fine and everything, but 90% of all the horse players said, where's the inquiry?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That was a bad job by them. It really was, Ralph. Somebody had a claim of foul. Maybe the Japanese rider didn't know what you do in America. Who knows? But the stewards were there.
It's
their responsibility.
They have to protect the betting public.
Of course.
Right, Rich?
Oh, yeah, no question about it, Ralph. I mean, you know, when you look at the head-on of the Derby, those two horses started about the 6 or 7 path, and by the time they hit the finish line, they were like in the 3 path. So somebody did something, you know, to move over 4 lanes in the stretch.
Molly. And it wasn't one bump. It wasn't just one bump.
They were leaning on each other all
for
the way down
a 1/16 of a mile.
Yeah. It was, but like John said, it's almost the unwritten rule there. You don't claim foul in the Derby.
They did it a few years ago with Country House when they took him down, didn't they?
Well, you mean Max?
I mean Maxim Security, and they put up Country House, right?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Hey John, the ironically, Maxim Security was my pick in the Derby that year, and I got disqualified. Why couldn't they, help put me up at least a second?
You know what, Richie? If next year something happens to a horse and you have him, I would suggest not to play the Kentucky Derby.
I would consider taking the first Saturday in May off.
Yeah. And not so much for your health and well-being, but for ours as well, because we might have the same horse. In any case, a great day and what a weekend for Kenny McPeak and Hernandez, huh?
Yeah, and, I mentioned at dinner to you, Ralph, that, we've been friends of Kenny McPeak for, 40 years, mm-hmm. and he's a great guy, and to see him have the success that he's had, well, he's had a lot of success in horse raising, but, that's top of the mountain stuff to win the Oaks and the Derby in the same weekend. Just phenomenal for him and the jockey Brian Hernandez. And, he's a top rider because, if you remember, a bunch of years ago, he won the Breeders' Cup Classic with Fort Larned with a ride that was absolutely textbook. Yeah. So, we know this kid can horseback.
Yeah, he gave a shout-out to Calvin Burrell because he said when he was growing up, Calvin Burrell was his idol.
Yeah.
And that was nice.
It was a nice thing that, the entire connections were all locals from Louisville and grew up, and their dream was to run and win the Kentucky Derby. So, all angles, I think, were real positive, this Kentucky Derby and this weekend, that's for sure. I hope we, as fans of the sport, can carry it on now for people who were introduced to the sport on a very positive basis yesterday, we'll maybe come back and enjoy it again, that's for sure. All right, Rich, we're going to get a pick from you, and then we'll let you go.
All right. Let's go to the last race today at Santa Anita, Ralph. It's a mile on the turf, and a horse that actually is exiting a stakes race, but it was a year ago, is the number 4, Old Pal. This is a real nice horse, but hasn't been out since last May. But, the thing with Mark Ladd is you take a look at the racing form, off the 180-day layoff, his win percentage is 27%, and, Mark's a heck of a trainer. So as long as this horse is tight enough, Ralph, off the layoff, I think he's more than talented enough. So let's go with number 4, Old Pal, race 10, Santa Anita.
10th and final at Santa Anita today. Number 4, Old Pal, is Richie's play, and Richie has the rest of his selections for today at Santa Anita at the RaceDayLasVegas.com websites. Want to thank you a lot, Rich, and just relax today.
Ralph, I'm going to turn the page and fire like most horse players are.
Yeah, you better believe it, pal. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you. We'll talk. We'll talk to you on Wednesday. Yeah. Well, okay. I'm gonna do the menu real quick right now, folks, and just to let you know. Yes, Virginia, there is racing the day after the Kentucky Derby, and remember, the first post signs we broadcast on this menu are that of the Pacific Time Zone. So if you're listening anywhere else, adjust to it. I don't want you to miss anything. Chance at making a bet. Don't you miss it like I miss Mom and Dad. Okay, here we go. Laurel Park is first up. Laurel Park's first post time for 10 races, 9:25. We got 9:25 at Laurel. Next comes Belmont at Aqueduct. 8 races today. A couple of stakes races. The License Fee Stakes will be the 3rd on the card, and the Gold Fever Stakes will be the 7th on the card. First post time at Belmont at Aqueduct is 10:05. 10:05 at Belmont at Aqueduct today. Gulfstream Park, their pick 6 Rainbow Jackpot carryover now stands at $30,278. And a first post time at Gulfstream at 10:10, first post at Gulfstream. And then we go to Woodbine. Woodbine Racecourse has 10 races. The Thorncliff Stakes is their 8th and featured. Woodbine has a pick 6 jackpot today of $9,147. Their Super High 5 jackpot, $15,402. First post time, 10:10 at Woodbine. And their feature race, again, is the Thorncliff Stakes, the 8th on the card. Then we go to Oaklawn Park. Closing day at Oaklawn Park. Wow, they've had a meet there. 11 races today at Oaklawn. The La Cachita Stakes is the 10th and featured race out of the 11 races. First post time is 10:20 for closing day at Oak Lawn Park, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Hawthorne has 8 races. Their first post time at Hawthorne is set at 12:40 for their 8 race card. Santa Anita will get underway at 1 o'clock this afternoon. 10 races, including the featured 7th race, the Grade 3 Senorita, at 6.5 furlongs on the turf for 3-year-old fillies. Santa Anita's first post time for 10 races today is at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Had a big pick 6 payoff yesterday at Santa Anita. You know, while people were recovering from the Kentucky Derby day card, Santa Anita put up some big numbers yesterday. As a matter of fact, their pick 6 paid $44,545.50. The pick 5, late pick 5, paid $20,175.70. Big day yesterday at Santa Anita. Golden Gate continues the menu. First post time for 8 races there is 1:15. Golden Gate first post time is at 1:15. And then we wrap it up with Los Alamitos in Southern California. Los Alamitos has a carryover in their pick 6 of $11,400. They have 9 races. First post time is 5:40. First race will be a third. Well, they got 1 thoroughbred race, 4 mixed breeds, and 4 quarter horses for the 9 race card at Los Alamitos. Okay. Well, we will continue on the show. We're going to just blow off all the commercials today. Everybody should know that we are brought to you by the South Point here, because that's where we're at. Did a great job yesterday, everybody here, that's for sure. And, of course, our charity that we like to always plug is Tunnel to Towers.
Yes, sir.
You know a lot about them as well.
Yes, yes.
All right. Now, we get back to the Kentucky Derby. You say they should have definitely had an inquiry in the bumping match through the stretch. But, I mean, the start of the race, which is one of the most important things, is the start of the race.
Yeah, but they usually let you go.
They usually let that go.
And in a 20-horse field, there has to be some problems at the start. There's no way it's going to be a clean getaway.
Oh, I understand that. There's got to be bumping. But this was like, I mean, your horse got, I'm surprised he stood up. I thought he was going to go down.
Yeah, he was forced to drop back to last. He made somewhat of a run in the stretch. And Ben Curtis, first time in the Derby, I'm sure he got something out of it.
Yeah, for sure. That's for sure. All right, so Mystic Dan slips through on the rail, wins the race in a photo finish, a driving finish with Sierra Leone, who finished second. The margin of victory and defeat was a nose apart. The third nose on the wire was Forever Young, who finished third. Then you had Catching Freedom with Flavian Pratt, who finished fourth. T.O. Password, the Japanese horse, really ran big. He ran fifth in the race at 48-1.
In career start number 3, Ralph.
His third race of his career, right.
And he was the longest shot in the race.
Yeah, he was, 48-1.
Well, one of the longest.
He was one of the longest. Believe it or not, Track Phantom was a long shot. But I see here on the chart that the longest price on the field finished in 18th place, Gomo the First at 49.32-1. Anyhow, so we got T.O. Pass finishing a fifth. Resilience was sixth. Stronghold, the Santa Anita Derby winner, was seventh. Honorary recovered and finished eighth. And I got to tell you, that was an admirable eighth, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing to be embarrassed about.
Endlessly did run ninth, so he split the field. Doorknock came off the rail, at least he was right in the middle of the pack and finished 10th out of the 20. Then you had Track Phantom, who finished 11th. West Saratoga was 12th. Domestic Product was 13th. Epic Ride was 14th. That was the horse that got bumped in. Fierceness finished 15th in the field, and like John Velasquez's comments was, he emptied out at the top of the stretch for sure. Society Man finished behind him at 16th. Just Steel was 17th. Grandmo the First, as I say, was 18th. Catalytic was 19th. And the horse who gets to bring up the rear, Just a Touch, who finished 20th in the race.
By the way, that horse also major, major trouble at the start. And Giroud protected him and wrapped him up.
Yep. So, all right, out of the 20, how many horses do you think go on to the Preakness?
2, 3, maybe, tops.
Okay. All right. Let's bring in our final handicapper of the day. Well, you know what? I didn't get any of your picks, Jonathan. Let's get yours, and then we'll bring in Jerry.
Okay, let's go to Belmont Aqueduct at Belmont to look at race number 2, 1/16 on the turf. And I like the number 5 horse in here, Agra three-year-old filly from the Bill Mott Barn. First two starts of her career were run at Aqueduct over this turf course, and they were very good. The last two races were on synthetic. Back at Aqueduct, back on the turf, 5-1 on the morning line. Junior Alvarado aboard to ride. I like number 5, Agra, to win today's second race.
All right, second race, the 5 for you, and you got to pick at Santa Anita.
Yeah, 10th and final. I like the number 5 horse in here, Lincoln Hawk, a 6-year-old gelding from the Liberato Baracchio Barn, Giovanni Franco aboard to ride. 8-1 on the morning line, draw a line through his last race going a mile and a quarter, cuts back to a mile today. Number 5, Lincoln Hawk, upsets and wins today's 10th and final.
All right, and I got a Scirocco play between you and Rich Eng so far. Richie likes the 4, you like the 5, so that's the Scirocco play, 10th race, Santa Anita, the exacta box of 4-5. Now we bring in Jerry Jackowitz. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, guys.
Well, what a derby, huh?
Yeah, really. What a derby. You know, you just... It's just an amazing race. I mean, you know,
yeah,
there's real highs, there's real lows. I imagine the Chad Brown's barn is, they're shaking their head today. What do we got to do to win? You know,
what about the Japanese? They've been trying forever.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Forever Young, mm-hmm. Forever is a good, Forever Young and Sierra Leone. I mean, they went step by step through the whole stretch of battling, leaning in and out on each other, and probably cost each other beating Mystic Dan, but that's all part of the game, you know. It's just, yeah. And there they were, 3 horses at the wire together, and one gets all the glory, and the other ones get all the, you know, the heartache, I guess you'd say.
Well, yeah, there's, I'm sure that the connections of the second and third place finishers consumed just as much alcohol as the ones that celebrated. But yeah. The winner. Let me ask you this.
They ran some incredible races.
Let me ask you this, Jerry. There's a consensus of race players out there that thought there should have been an inquiry, at least, in that bumping match coming down the stretch. What say you?
Well, based on maybe the last 2 years, maybe so. Based on the last 150 years, definitely not.
Okay.
So, I'm, you know, that's the Kentucky Derby. It's a rough-ridden race. You're going to put 20 colts out there. And
right.
Young horses trying to do something they've never done before, and you're going to ask them to run a perfect, pristine race is just not reasonable, and put that kind of jackpot out there at the end. What's a jockey supposed to do? He's supposed to kind of back off a little bit and
not in the Derby.
Let the race go to somebody else who could win it, and there'll be a little bumping. I still don't like any of the disqualifications I've seen in the Kentucky Derby. It has a history of being run a certain way, so I'm okay with that history.
Okay.
Although I will say that I forget the name, Will, whatever his name, that was really a bad foul when they did take him down. So that one I was kind of okay with. But as far as Sierra Leone and Forever Young, they look like they ran. The two of them did what they wanted to do, and they. That's the way it was.
Okay. Now, you come on our show on Wednesdays, and since there's no product that you have on Wednesdays for selecting horses, we'll wait and get your full Monty report from your angle on the Kentucky Derby on Wednesday. We'll give that little tease there. In the meantime...
I only have one comment. There's only one comment I want to make today. Is Kenny McPeak can talk... Nobody else can, but he can say anything he wants anytime.
All right. Touche. Nice touch there, Jerry. That's for sure. And let's get some picks from you. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Let's do that. I got the third race today for you.
Okay.
Real interesting little turf sprint at Aqueduct. I like Honey Pants.
Mm-hmm.
Really shipping in from the West Coast, took a stop at Turfway Park on the way to Aqueduct for Jonathan Thomas.
Okay.
I like the 5 an awful lot in the third race. I might play an exacta 5 over the 1-2.
Okay, we're pushing time.
1-2-4.
We're pushing time. Third race at Belmont at Aqueduct, the 5 over 1-2 and reverse. Now, Santa Anita.
Let's go to the first, Ralph. I got number 6, Fast Chaz. I love this horse over the 1-2-5-9. Small reverses, but the 6 in race number 1.
All right, so you can do it, Jerry. In the first race, 1:00 post time at Santa Anita Pacific time, the 6 over 1-2-5-9 and reverse. Don't forget Jerry J's power pages available for today at Santa Anita and Belmont at Aqueduct on jerryjspowerpage.com. Well, we want to thank everybody out there, including our staff here working behind the scenes, the guys on the air as well, and all of you, the fans out there who came and enjoyed. We hope you did as well. And we're going to take a couple of days off. We'll be back on Wednesday morning. Go ahead and say it, Jerry.
Have a great race day, everybody.
It's Ralph Sirocco at Race Day Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at KSHP.com.